I thought we'd feature this interview that we did with Daryl Sims, known as the Alien Hunter, who specializes in implants. That's things that evidently when you're abducted, the ETs leave on your body to track you down, we assume. He has made a career of it, and he likes to call himself the Alien Hunter. Daryl has actually been out trying to trap an ET. We asked Daryl if he's still at that.
We have several scientists that are helping us who actually want to assist us in help catching an alien entity. They feel like, as I do, that in fact if it's cosmically correct for them to abduct us, turnabout ought to be fair play. So one of our next projects is to get the tech together and see if we can't catch one of these little critters ourselves.
You going to keep us abreast of this, I hope.
You'll always be the first one to know first. You're always on top of things, so you'll be the first one to know about it when it happens.
Now, you don't really have an idea about these aliens, really, where they're from or anything.
We only have certain possibilities that suggested by the abductees. The aliens smell like sulfur. This is often reported, or they smell like rotten leather, moldy leather, or decayed cardboard. I mean, the sulfur is the big one that people often mention, and sometimes they'll smell on their carpet where the entities walked. They smell like sulfur. The only sulfur I know that smells like that would probably be inside the earth, and if that were true, it might give a hint where they're coming from.
Well, it's kind of interesting you would mention that. Here we are in New Mexico, full of caverns, supposedly underground bases.
That's what they tell me. So who knows? I think it's fascinating that we're here. I lived in Alamogordo for 13 years, so this is my native territory. So this is my alma mater, I guess, of alien abductions.
Well, it's been a lot of activity in New Mexico over the years, that's for sure. And why do you think that's the case?
Well, I actually think it's in other places as well, but the fact is Roswell gets a lot more credit because there's something incredible happened here that the government covered up three times, told three different lies about, and I'm waiting for the next lie. I hope it's better than the other three because they're just whoppers, you know. I mean, let's get something original, something that really works this time.
Yeah, the thing about the crash dummies, that story fell apart pretty quickly.
It certainly did, especially when the commander of the project, a lieutenant colonel, I believe, came on the internet and said, why is the government lying about this? Roswell after 1947, that event, he said, our event, and I was the commander of it, he said, that event didn't start until 1953. So how'd they get Roswell? The dummies that we used, they were 200 pounds, 6 foot tall, out there to shrink and get small, and land in Roswell in 1947. So that's kind of a trick.
Yeah, you mentioned the dummies and the small ETs and things. What seems to be the most prevalent description of extraterrestrials and the people doing the abductions or the beings or whatever we want to call them? I mean, are they a little small or are they middle or are they big guys? I mean, I've even heard stories about that the Nordic types seem to be coming to the front.
You're exactly right. There is a hierarchy that exists in the UFO phenomenon. The little grays that people often mention are actually, in my opinion, have an IQ about 80 or 90 on an IQ chart. And the reason I say that is because they often make mistakes. They're not very intelligent. As long as you're cooperative and do what you're told, they do their job well. But they make mistakes and put people in wrong locations. They often drop you off. We have people in the wrong bed when they wake up or on the couch. Some of them wake up outside their home and the house is locked with a double tumbler lock, which means you got to have a key to get in and out, and the keys are inside the house. Some people wake up on the wrong freeway when they're driving. We even have two people, and demonstrably woke up in the wrong state.
You know, you are one of the big advocates about not going along with the program. And when you say you stand up to these little guys, they don't know what to do.
That's true. They often will make mistakes because they have in my opinion, they're like a 286 computer with legs. They're not very intelligent. Their job is just basically pick you up and get you back, do whatever it is, the basic stuff. If you make mistakes or you decide to rebel, you may find that you have all kinds of physical evidence if you'll just pay attention to what you're doing.
Now, you came up with a black light theory out of the blue, I guess.
The black light is simply a system that shows that if entities have touched you and left they leave a physical trace. For lack of a better term, sweat might be the illustration, but they leave a physical trace on you, and that trace will remain for about 24 hours, some rarely up to 2 weeks. If you can use the black light, you can see the physical movement, the physical touching of an entity on you.
So they smell like sulfur, and they glow in the dark.
They glow in the dark if you got a black light. If you don't, you can't see them, because I think they see in the invisible range of infrared, ultraviolet, and the visible range, so they see the whole range. That's why people have not been able to film them in many cases. When they think they may be abducted, they set a camera up, and they wake up, and in the morning, and the camera's been turned off. These entities can see in the infrared range, and they can see sensors or anything else on your camera equipment on. They can spot it for a mile.
Now, you're bound to have a theory by now, Daryl. A lot of people say these, the little ones, the little grays, for lack of a better term, the ones we're talking about, the 80, 90 IQs, some of them even doubt that they're human. They might be humanoid.
Well, the fact is that one of
or whatever their species is.
One of our abductees wanted to defend herself, and she was crying, said, "They're going to get my children. They told me so." And so I said, "Okay, I'll help you out." I gave her a post-hypnotic suggestion. She actually assaulted her captor and tore his eye cup off, and underneath it she describes something you might see in an ER with a, you know, when you see when someone is flatlining in the death or something like that. They have little lines running across his eye. They were there, and I think it's either five or six different lines running across the red stipple screen after she ripped the black eye cup off.
So that would give an explanation that it's maybe some sort of cyber misfit or
some kind of a cyber misfit's the right word. Organism might be another term, but I like the word misfit real well.
You have any idea where these beings are? Like you say, they could be from the Earth.
Well, they could be different locations. I suspect there. Here's a nice tidbit for your audience. If you'll type in the word L-BAZ, you'll find that's one of the top NASA geologists, scientists, and in there, if you'll read, you're going to read through thousands of papers, but in there, you'll find he's an outspoken critic, not critic, but an outspoken person who just simply reveals information about what they found on the moon. Look at this stuff that they found on the moon and what he said about it, because he's a NASA geologist for that Apollo team. And he says there were spires found on top of on the moon several times taller than the Empire State Building, and there were a lot of them. Just type it in and see what you find.
And what is your experience with your investigation of the abductees? How many are telling the truth? How many aren't?
Many of the abductees, in fact, were telling the truth. The few that we found the people that I've interviewed that weren't telling the truth were the people who are trying to hoodwink, people who are just flat made it up, and there are others who are just flat hallucinating.
Now, I want to ask you one thing before we leave, and that is, how much of this do you think is government involved? I mean, you had experience with the CIA. We talked about the black helicopters before and the cattle mutilations, and probably that's the people investigating the original mutilations. How much of it do you think is government-inspired? How much?
Intelligence areas' response and how they're connected with the DSP satellite system. That's the satellite that you see on the enemy of the state, that sort of thing. And how that affects and goes along with UFO phenomena, how it proves our point to be true, and how even the DSP satellite can see cattle that have been pre-marked by fluorescence before they're even mutilated.
Interesting.
I appreciate it. And, Jerry, you're good people, and I appreciate the work that you're doing. You're really doing an outstanding job in letting people know what's really going on.
Thank you very much, Daryl Sims, the Alien Hunter.